story is told of a little girl that was struggling with a debilitating disease that was stealing away the white blood cells from her body. And day by day, she grew weaker and weaker and weaker, until the doctors finally realized that she was going to have a blood transfusion if she were going to survive. The problem was she had a very rare blood type, and they didn't have a stock of that blood type in the hospital at that moment. So they did a quick search among family members and discovered that her 9-year-old brother was the only one that was the best match for her to receive a blood transfusion. His parents sat down with the little boy and explained what was going on. Your sister has this problem. It's stealing away her blood. Unless you give her some of your blood, she's not going to survive. He asked him to give him a little bit of time to think about it, went into a room by himself, and then in a few minutes later, he came back out and he told his parents, if this is what I need to do, I'll be glad to do it. I will give my blood to my sister. So they made the arrangements very quickly. They came in, they put a needle in his arm, they began to take out the blood that they needed, and when the process was finished, the doctor collected the blood that was going to save his sister's life and began to walk out of the room. And the little boy said, Doctor, before you leave, I got a question. What is it, son? How long before I began to die? You see, he assumed if his sister was going to live, he was going to have to die to give her his blood. The doctor explained that that wasn't true, that of course his blood would regenerate and he would be fine and all would be well. But that little boy understood something that we need to never forget. He understood there is life in the blood. And he understood, and there is death in the giving of blood. And he understood when you share your blood, it is a great sacrifice. What is true of any sacrifice we might make is infinitely more true about Jesus Christ. We were talking just a few moments ago together as a staff about the fact that we don't talk about the blood of Calvary much anymore in church. We don't sing about it. We don't talk about it. It's not referred to very much. We focus on all kinds of spiritual things, but we forget one of the most important things of all, which is we are saved by the blood. Talking about blood makes us kind of squeamish these days. For Jesus, it did not have that effect. In fact, for him, worship and blood went together like hand and glove. He grew up in a spiritual background in which he understood the need for blood in order to for a sacrifice to bring redemption from sins. Those sacrifices were offered in the temple, especially each year when the sin sacrifices were offered. But they never worked, at least not for long. At best, people might have the sins of a few days ago wiped away, a year ago wiped away. But the penalty for sin would return with new sins. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. The world needed a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus did not come to provide the perfect sacrifice, but to become the perfect sacrifice. 1 Peter 1, 18-19 says, you were not redeemed with perishable things, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And here's what we read in Ephesians together a while ago. You were at that time separate from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. What a compelling statement. There was a time in your life when you were far away from God. There was a time in your life when you were without God and you were without hope. And now you who once were far, far away have come just as close as you can be. You have come to know him by the blood of Christ. The Bible is saying the blood of Jesus is the only perfect sacrifice that brings the life of God into the dying lives of men and women, boys and girls. And so this morning, I want us to go to Ephesians 2 together. I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about the power of the blood. And by the time you leave today, you will know there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The Bible tells us that through his blood, we are forgiven. That is the power of the cross. It's not that Jesus suffered. It's not that Jesus died. It is that he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice. If the crucifixion were nothing more than some people who were stronger than Jesus took hold of Jesus, and because of what Jesus said, they put him to death, and he died, it would be a tragic circumstance. It would be a terrible loss, but it could do nothing for you or for me. For the crucifixion of Jesus to have the power that we needed it to have in our lives, he had to come and give himself as a perfect sacrifice. He gave his life away. It was his blood that covered your sin. There's a huge term in the Bible that everybody needs to know. It is the term atonement. Atonement means the price has been paid. Atonement means you were found guilty. You were condemned. You had no way to rescue yourself. Then the price was paid. A delivery driver was making his rounds one day when he was assaulted by a group of young thugs who beat him and took his money and robbed his truck and left him broken. He was in the hospital for a number of days. As time went by, one of the young men who had assaulted him was captured and placed on trial, and after the trial was sentenced to 3 years in prison. At the sentencing, this delivery driver asked if he could address the young man who had beaten him, and he looked at him and he said, "Son, you're guilty. You did exactly what you've been accused of doing. You have been sentenced to years in prison. And you deserve those years because you did what you have been accused of doing. Your verdict is just. The price has to be paid." Then he turned to the judge and he said, "You've done exactly the right thing. The jury has reached exactly the right decision. But this young man is young, and 3 years in jail is a long time. I've forgiven him for what he did to me. I would like to serve his sentence. I will take his place in prison." That is atonement. That is atonement. The price has to be paid, so I will pay it. That's the blood of the cross. Here's what we need to remember when we think about the death of Jesus and how he poured out his blood. Jesus sacrificed himself, not for the sins of all of us, but for the sins of each of us. And when we stand before the crucified Savior, we do not stand in mass. We stand before him individually, and individually, the Lord Jesus says to us, "Your sins are real. You have earned your punishment. Judgment is fair. But I have paid your price. I will take your place. My blood is on behalf of your sins." How do I know that's true? Because Jesus said so himself. He said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." 1 Peter 1:22 states it clearly, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." When Jesus poured out his blood, every drop of it was an expression of love. No wonder Paul said, "This all happened because of the blood of Jesus." Love for God, love for people who needed God. Jesus made the decision. He would become the perfect sacrifice. He gave himself as your atonement. That's why that old hymn poses a compelling challenge to experience the forgiving power of Christ. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb who gave himself for you. The Bible also tells us that through his blood we have a new relationship with God. That Jesus came to do more than just become the perfect sacrifice. He came to open the door to heaven. Jesus gave his blood to restore lost people into a right relationship with God. Here's the thing about that one who poured out his life for you. It wasn't about the forgiveness as much as it was the forgiveness that led to reconciliation. It was the one and only way back home to the Lord. The blood of Jesus opens the door for us to be back in a right relationship with God. That's what the Bible says in Colossians, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace by the blood of the cross." It pleased the Father to reconcile all things through the blood of the cross. Reconcile. You know what that word means? It means to bring back home. It means to begin talking again. It means to learn to love one another again. It means to put the past aside and forgive past failures. It means everything is made clean so that the future can be made new. Reconciliation is back in a right relationship. Jesus came to pour out his blood so that we could get back into a right relationship with God Almighty. Because the blackness of our sin, the depth of our depravity, the amount of avoidance that we gave toward God because that sin was between us, it's all wiped away by the blood of the cross. And we are reconciled to God. Reconciliation is loving each other as though nothing had ever gone wrong. You know, even when we come to Christ, so many times we are tempted to believe that he takes us back, but he takes us conditionally. You know, I forgive you, I save you, I redeem you, but the truth is, I really still don't trust you. I know you're going to mess up again, and when you mess up again, then I'm not going to be happy with you. And when I'm not happy with you, then there's going to be this separation between us again, and you'll be back out of a relationship with me. But that's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible says we are reconciled through the blood of the cross, which means from now on, when you belong to Jesus, he sees you through the filter of the blood of the Redeemer. He sees you the way Jesus makes you. And he loves you. And nothing ever interferes with the grace and the love that comes through Jesus. Reconciliation is an incredible gift of God all through the blood. And that's what I love about Jesus. He could have said, "The Son of Man has come to judge, to condemn, and find guilty." But instead, he said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I came because I love people too much to leave them alone. I come because sin has separated them from God, and I've come to reconcile them through the power of the blood. Why? Because blood was more than a symbol of life. It is a symbol of love. It means God looked down from his holy heaven and he saw anger and hatred and violence and sin and rebellion, and his heart reached out with compassion and said, somebody's got to save these people. He held nothing back in his desire to save lost people. He even gave his son, who gave his life for you. Nobody ever has, nobody ever will love you like Jesus. He poured out his blood because it reaches to the highest heavens and it flows to the lowest valley. And that blood will never lose its power. And then the Bible tells us this. And through his blood, we have eternal hope. On the last night of his life, Jesus gathered his disciples with him in the upper room. You remember they shared what became the first Lord's Supper. And he broke the bread and he declared it was a symbol of his body to be broken. And then the Bible says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He wanted them to understand what's about to happen, no accident. What's about to take place, I am not the victim. What is about to take place is me giving my life for you. And then he made a promise. He said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What was he saying? His death was not going to be the end. That the one who would spill his blood and give his life would rise again on the third day and ascend into heaven, and the day is coming when he will return to claim his own. And on that day, all who belong to Jesus will find a welcoming place at the table of the Lord. Jesus was basically saying, I'm going to pour out my blood. It's going to be redeeming blood. It can change your life. If you trust me, I will save you. And then that day is coming when I will return for my own. And I'm not just going to bring you to heaven. You know what I love? He says, I'm going to bring you home. And we're going to sit together at the table. We're going to sit together at the table. And you will be a part of a banqueting family. Family. All because the blood made the way. No wonder Revelation 5 tells us how we will worship Jesus on that day, when we will join believers from every nation, tribe, and tongue in crying out, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessings. We will worship the one who poured out his blood so that we could receive everlasting life. Knowing that all these things are true, I have a question I need to ask you this morning. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Has there been that time when you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to know he gave his life for you, to know he rose again for you, to know he's coming again for you, because you've trusted him to be your Savior? Are you washed in the blood? If not, you don't need to leave today without settling that issue. You need to understand that only Jesus can save, because only Jesus gave his life and poured out his blood to become your atonement so that you could be reconciled with God, so you could expect eternal life when you leave this world. Only Jesus did that for you. If you're not a believer this morning, I want to encourage you, before you leave today, to settle that issue. In a moment, we're going to be singing an invitation hymn, and I'll be here, and Rich will be here, and we would be glad to introduce you to Jesus. But maybe you're here and you're not ready to walk down here, but you sure want to talk to somebody. Our staff will be in the lobby after this service today. I will be there, Rich will be there, Joe will be there, Nathan will be there, Cynthia will be there. We would love to talk to you about how you can come to know Jesus. But today may be your day when you need to take a stand. And if so, when we sing, you come. Or maybe you're here today and you know you need to be a part of the church. A part of the church where all that is ours in Jesus is declared. A place where you know you're going to hear the cross declared. A place where you know you're going to hear the word declared. A place where you know you're going to have salvation declared. And God is calling you to plant your life as a member of First Baptist Church. And today you need to come and settle that decision. Maybe you're here with another decision you need to make. Maybe one you can settle with us. Maybe one you need to settle at the altar. Is there a decision you need to make? Let's stand together. Let's sing. You come.